Okay, hello and welcome everybody to week one of the Trim Life class. This is Maria Ripo, your host, and I am so excited that all of you chose to be on this call with me tonight. I'm really excited to learn from your wisdom, to learn from your unique life experiences, from your challenges with food and eating and body image issues. I'm really excited to share with you the tools that I have for overcoming these challenges. I've overcome these challenges in my own life, and when I say I've overcome, I don't mean that I'm no longer human and I never struggle with wanting to eat emotionally or anything like that. What I mean when I say that is that I no longer am powerless against my challenges around food and body image, the number on a scale, all of those kinds of things. So I'm really excited to share with you. I'm excited to learn from you. I am going to just open up the line for a minute and just have everyone say, oh, let's see if I can. Maybe not. How about if everybody just press star 6 real quick and then just say hello. Let's see if that works. That works.
Hello.
I'm Maria.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, I think you're unmuted now. Can everybody say hello?
Yep.
Hi.
Okay, good. You're out there. I always like to make sure that people are hearing me and all of that sort of thing before I start. So, hello. I'm so excited to have you guys on the line. Looks like lots of people
Maria.
Are with us. Okay, so I'm going to just have you press star 6 to mute yourself. And that way, when you want to talk, it'll just be easy for you to press star 6 and unmute yourself.
Maria?
Yes?
To unmute, you have to do star 7. Star 6 only mutes you.
Star 6. Oh, to unmute it, star 7? Okay,
yes.
Thank you. This is a different system than I normally use, so I really appreciate that. Yeah, I see that. Okay. Okay, so good. If everyone just press, thank you so much for that. If everyone just press star 6. Then, all right, so if you're coming in from the web, the webcast, if you have a question, you would just submit your question from the web page. And thank you, Catherine. I see that you did a little testing for me on that. I really appreciate that. So you can submit a question online. If you have a question, while I'm talking, you can press star 2, and hopefully I will see that. If I don't see it and there's just a question that you've got to ask, press star 7 and just say, hey, Maria, I have a question. So that way if I get really wrapped up in what I'm doing, which I usually do, I get kind of in call mode. So I think that is all of the housekeeping. This is being recorded, so you'll be able to listen to it over again as many times as you like. I'm going to be sharing. The first class is not super interactive. It's a lot more introductory hypnosis exercises and kind of just getting you guys familiar with what I'm going to be teaching. And after this, so I'm going to share this class. That was what I decided to do so people can get a taste of it. Some people are sort of worried about hypnosis or not sure about it, and so they want to just experience the first class. And then after this class, we are going to really be able to open up with each other and just the people that are on the class. So those following classes will not be shared with anybody outside of the class. So you can just feel comfortable sharing and Anything that you share on this call, too, just know that we're all human and we all have our challenges. And more often than not, when you ask a question, most other people on the line have the same question, so they're just going to be very thankful that you were courageous enough to ask it. And then also, as we become vulnerable with each other and share our truth and share our how we feel and what our struggles and challenges are, it really frees other people to feel comfortable to share their challenges. So as we go, I'll always be sharing what's real for me in my challenges with food and this whole arena of emotional eating, food addiction, disordered eating, whatever it is that might be your particular struggle. I'm sure parts of me, multiple parts, struggle with all of the above. So, all right. So in this Trim Life program, we are going to be using hypnosis. Trim Life has actually helped thousands of people heal their relationship with food. I practice these principles myself that I'm going to be teaching you. And this program is not actually a program that I created myself. It was created by Diane Zimbaroff, who runs and operates. She's world-renowned. She has a school called the Wellness Institute. There's actually campuses all over the world. She wrote an incredible book called Breaking Free from the Victim Trap, which I highly recommend to everybody who's taking this class. She experienced disordered eating. She's a therapist and has practiced hypnotherapy, heart-centered hypnotherapy, for many, many years. And she experienced disordered eating for a long time. In fact, I've seen some of her videos from back in the 80s and 90s, and she was about probably 100 pounds more than she is now. She's 70 years old. She was able to finally release all of that weight, ending that vicious cycle that she has in her life. And she looks amazing. I have seen her move. I've seen her in action, and she moves like she's 20. So it's never, ever too late to shine, you guys. It's never too late to start this work. So I'm excited to be with you to discover more of the ways that my eating is still disordered and the ways that I sabotage myself that I don't even know about yet, and heal those areas of my own life so I can be more deeply alive and fully human myself. So I would like to start just by hearing what motivated you guys to be here this evening, to be on this call, whether you're here to kind of learn some of these techniques if you work with clients, or, you know, if you're here because you've been really challenged in this area with food and eating and body image. And I know it can be really intimidating to share with people when you don't even know who's on the line, but I just want to say that we're here to support each other and just create a safe container and really a standing wave of love where each of us can just be fully who we are and still feel completely supported. So is there anybody who might just like to volunteer and start us off just real quick, maybe a minute, you know, 30 seconds of what you're hoping to get out of the class or why you decided to take the class? You can just press star 7. Who is this?
Maria?
Yes.
Hi, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
So I'll share. I'll start since I had already given you a call and kind of giving you the feedback from the informational call that you did. I joined because from that informational call, which was last Tuesday, like I told you, I was in the middle of kids running around in the kitchen, dog, and just got home from work trying to start dinner. And I just didn't think, you know, anything was going to work. You know, I just thought, okay, I'll just listen in. There's, you know, no loss in doing that. And I had it on mute, so I figured, you know, I could continue my activities while I was half listening to you. But the longer I listened, the more I realized I was getting you know, really into it. And then kind of towards the end, when you're actually starting the tapping exercise, it really shifted for me from me just kind of observing from afar to realizing that this is something that was about me. And I still was skeptical when I hung up because I couldn't even repeat what you were saying and, you know, do really the exercise with intention. But out of the blue, just since last week, I've been trying to go back to swimming for the last 10 years since my divorce, and I haven't done it. And this week, I went back to the gym and started swimming again and started eating healthier, started craving healthier foods, just kind of craving exercise. And beneath all of that, it just this overwhelming feeling that I've never felt before of wanting to take care of myself. So that's why I joined today, because I don't know what it is you did, and it didn't seem like it was going to work, but something changed, and I want to continue. I don't want this to be a phase. I want this to actually change my life for the better and for whatever emotional baggage that I'm carrying, that I can just let go of it once and for all.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. And so what I hear you saying is that you, after that last call, found more compassion for yourself and more desire to take care of the body that you're living inside of, and you wanted some more of that.
Yeah. I mean, so this morning I swam 25 laps, which, you know, I wasn't competitive swimming when I was young, and I knew my body used to be able to do that, but I really didn't think that I could, you know, do any of that today. It's been 10 years. And for the first time in my life, I got out of the pool, you know, got into the shower, got dressed, you know, walked to the car, and regardless of what I look like now, I am still 200 and some pounds. I was grateful to my body. I was grateful and appreciative of what my body can do.
Wow. Well, I am so glad to hear all of that and really excited that you're here. Thank you for sharing. All right. Is there anybody else that would be interested in sharing what motivated them to be on a call?
Hello, Maria.
Hello.
Hi, it's Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I will share what motivated me to come on the call. I've been doing all different sorts of work around this arena, this area of my life, with compulsive eating and emotional eating, and I come across a lot of self-sabotage patterns, and so it's really frustrating, and I'm just hoping that this will help kind of get to the root of those self-sabotage programs and, get to a place where I'm not only, have a cognitive understanding of what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do, but actually, just the behavior is what I'm looking to switch rather than the mindset and the behavior, but I'm just coming up with a lot of self-sabotage recently.
Mm-hmm. So maybe what I hear you saying is that you're hoping to truly find the gift and the purpose in your self-sabotage so that the punishment that you create for yourself around it can go away.
Yes,
yeah, me too. That's why I love doing this work, because I get to learn more and more about this gift of self-sabotage and what it's here to teach me and all of us. Mm. So thank you for being here. Thanks for sharing, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
All right, maybe one more person might like to share before we move right into what we're going to be doing tonight?
Maria, this is Shelley.
Hey, Shelley.
Hi. So I first encountered you when I decided to do a green smoothie challenge a couple of years ago. And I have to say, doing that challenge really changed my life and helped me move toward greater health and loving myself more. And so then last winter, I took your EFT class, and I have come to a point in my life where I want to do what you do and help other people solve their problems. And so I'm taking this class now so that I can help those that I'm coaching.
Yay! That's so exciting. I think there can't be too many people doing this work, because every human on the planet has heart healing work to do, and I just love that you're out there doing that and helping people find more compassion for themselves and balance, and I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Okay, and there will be more opportunity for other people to share as we go. I just want to make sure we kind of stay on track, and we're 20 minutes in, so I think I could sit and have a two-hour session just listening to all of you, but that might not be why you're all here. So anyway, I am curious if any of you have been on diets, and just having you right now coming up with, in your own mind, just thinking about that diet yo-yo that probably all of us, including me, have been in that cycle in one way or another in our lives. What I found in my life is that diets just make me want to eat more, and I literally have never been able to stick to a diet ever in my life for more than 2 hours. And I laugh, but I'm not kidding. If I ever have gone on a diet in my life, I will instantly gain 5 pounds because I start eating everything. I can't stop thinking about food. So I learned a long time ago that diets didn't work for me. So I love teaching this. I love enlightening people to the fact that if they've never stuck to a diet, or if they've dieted and gained weight and gained back more than they weighed when they started, that it's not because they're a failure or somehow flawed. Diets do not work. 95% of people, of all humans who go on diets, it's now the research is out there, they gain the weight back and then some. And I hear this story over and over and over and over. So I feel like it's my mission, and I know some of you on the line have the same mission of just freeing people from that prison that we create for ourselves around food. So one of the things that's really important to look at in our lives is just looking and just kind of bringing into our awareness when our struggle with weight started. And just kind of thinking about what was going on in your life when that shift happened. Usually, you know, when we're young, at least when we're really young, there's usually a time, not in everybody's life, because some people, the overeating started at a very young age because maybe the mother felt loved by feeding the child. And so potentially the child was overeating as a baby even. But just kind of bringing that into awareness, when that shift happened, when you started thinking about your body and not liking your body and started wanting to eat food even when you weren't hungry, and just kind of bringing that into your awareness. If you have received your materials yet for the class, you would have a workbook, and you're welcome to follow along. I may not go exactly in order of the workbook, but what I'm going to be going over tonight is in the week one of the workbook materials. So so I'm just going to talk a little bit about why diets don't work. With diets, there's always a binging and restricting pattern. Usually, I don't know if you guys have ever been on a diet, but or know that you're going to go on a diet or do a cleanse or something. What's the thing that most people do the day before? They eat everything they ever wanted to eat because they know that they're not going to be eating starting the next day. So we go through our lives binging and purging or emotional eating and just constantly being exposed to food. You know, food in our culture is a celebration. It's our fun. It's our activity. It's our excitement. It's our mini vacation from life. It's how we connect with other people. And we aren't oftentimes really experiencing the food or thinking about what we're eating. So before we're done, or by the time we're done, we oftentimes haven't even enjoyed the food. You know, and then so we kind of binge maybe and we get on a scale and then we're mortified and then we put on our clothes and they feel tighter. And then what do? We freak out. I love, oh God, Janine Roth, and I keep meaning to go back and listen to exactly how she says this, but she says, it was a CD of hers I was listening to, and it was like the week after Passover or something, and here she's writing this book on emotional eating, and she starts talking about her experience of putting her jeans on that morning, and how she was lying down on the bed, you know, trying to squeeze herself into her biggest pair of jeans that she owned. And she sits up and like contemplates her options. She could get liposuction. She could have a lobotomy. She could have her legs amputated, or she could buy a new pair of jeans. And out of all of those options, the only one that is absolutely out of the question is buying a pair of jeans, a bigger pair of jeans. And I laugh so hard at that. And I think most of us feel that way. We don't want to be bigger. We will do anything not to be bigger or to be smaller. And so oftentimes when that happens, you know, the feelings that come up are shame, self-loathing, fear, you know, feeling out of control. And then we go into that restriction mode. And then what do we feel? Then we feel deprived, depressed, bored. So we really learn to use food to self-medicate. So when we binge, we feel awful, and then we eat, right? Because when we feel awful, the thing that our brain most easily knows will bring pleasure is food. So we binge, and then we eat more because we feel so bad about our binging. So it's just this awful, vicious cycle that so many of us have going on. Pleasure seeking is actually a survival mechanism. So in order for us to stay alive and keep moving forward in life, one of the things that we have to experience is pleasure or hope. Just like hunger is a survival mechanism, so our body will ask so loudly, we'll get those hunger pangs for food. The pleasure is the same thing. It's like a hunger pang for pleasure, and our brain goes to work looking for pleasure. And as children, so often adults unknowingly program us to find pleasure very easily in food. They reward us with food. They celebrate us with food. They connect with us with food. And overeating actually increases the production of an amino acid called tryptophan, which stimulates serotonin, and serotonin is a pleasure chemical. So when we overeat, we're actually creating a pleasure cycle, which we all know doesn't last very long, and then it turns into a depression cycle, and then our brain leads us to the pleasure of eating again. So it's just this crazy cycle. And this also happens when we exercise, though. So like Karen was saying, she felt so good after she swam. She felt so good in her body. She felt happy. Even though her body was not a different size after she swam, she felt better about living inside her body after she exercised this morning because it stimulated tryptophan just like overeating does. So it actually is creating a drug-like response in the brain where we get a shot of serotonin, which is a pleasure chemical. So we can also get that same feeling by exercising. But usually, we all know it's a lot easier to open the freezer and overeat on some ice cream to get that. So we do. And this all happens subconsciously. So another reason that diets don't work is that there's something that we go on and off. So we don't learn to have balance or healthy eating habits. We actually often don't trust ourselves around food. I know, I remember when it used to be really stressful for me, the weekends would come and we would go to people's houses or go out to dinner or something, and it was really stressful because I didn't trust myself around food, and I knew the shame I was going to have to wake up with the next morning because I would overeat or I would overdrink often. I would have, you know, like 3 or 4 glasses of wine and feel terrible the next day, and this was my vicious cycle, and then I would add sugar to that, and oh my gosh, I would be just hungover. And so I don't know if you guys ever feel that, like food hangover, the shame. But so basically what's happening with the food in a nutshell is we're just looking for a quick fix. And if we're not consciously aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it, we just like get on autopilot and go for food. Often food has emotional connections for us. It might have been used, you know, like I said, as a reward. Maybe it was used to shame or guilt us if we didn't eat it because, you know, there's other people starving in the world. Or we might waste, you know, the money that our parents made to buy the food or things like that. So our parents often would say, if you don't eat, you don't get dessert. So they're teaching us, fill yourself up with dinner or you don't get to fill yourself up with dessert. So we, as children, end up feeling guilty, so we eat to relieve the guilt, and we learn that eating relieves guilt, eating relieves shame, eating relieves boredom, depression. It makes us feel better in the moment. So we learn to medicate our feelings with food. And so our subconscious mind gets programmed this way. We expect kids to eat large portions, but, you know, a child's stomach is smaller than an adult's, yet we're made to eat as children. And we learn to eat when we're not hungry. We learn to eat past when we're full. We learn to stop listening to our own bodies. We're taught as children to stop listening to the messages of our bodies and instead listen to an authority outside of ourselves. So an interesting study that was done with children was that the people putting on the study put a bunch of kids together, and they put a lot of food out, mostly just healthy choices, you know, nuts, fruit, vegetables, you know, just healthy choices. And the kids would come in and pick what they wanted and what was interesting to them. And what was interesting was that it showed that they would pick what their body actually needed. And they'd only eat a little bit. They'd eat a little bit off their plate. They'd go out and play. They'd come back when they got hungry, maybe eat a little bit more. And the studies show that children know how to listen to their bodies. But they're taught to discount the messages. We're taught to discount the messages of our bodies. So we're taught to stop listening to our body. So Trim Life is all about learning to listen to our body and to hear the messages and to eat when our body tells us that it's hungry and to stop when our body tells us that it's had enough, to eat what's healthy for us. Because so once we get the junk out of our diet, our body will actually ask for the healthy food, just like the kids' bodies did. Our body will ask for what it needs. And what's really interesting is I noticed with my body since it's been, I would say, like 2 years since I really started listening to my body. And one of the things I notice is that in the seasons, my cravings change. So I crave soup a lot in the winter. I crave heavier, like fat in the winter. And I might actually, I gain weight, I believe. I don't weigh myself. So, but I feel maybe a little bit like I have an extra little layer or something in the winter because I'm eating more fat and my body needs to stay warm, so I crave more fat. And then in the summer, I really crave like salads and fresh juices and smoothies and just lighter foods. I don't crave as much fat and butter, although I still eat it, but I crave it a lot more in the winter. So your cravings will actually change. So what we want to do is look at what the messages were around food in our family and what were the messages that we took in that became our belief system. So maybe just right now, think about what food represented in your family, and were there any messages that you got that maybe I didn't already bring up? Just kind of tuning in and bringing that up in your mind. An interesting thing for me was when I found out that the French people eat this amazingly rich diet, cheeses and fried foods and wine, and they're healthy and they're thin, and yet as a culture, they don't snack. So if they're out shopping with their kids, and let's say the kid wants something to eat, like at the store, you know, begging for something, the parent might buy the food that the kid wanted, maybe it's a pastry or something, but they don't eat it until, I believe it's 4 p.m., which is when culturally they have like appetizer-type food because they eat dinner a little bit later. So I hear that when they come to the U.S., they're actually appalled because everywhere they turn, business meetings, church gatherings, get-togethers, everywhere there's muffins, cakes, chips, snacks, drinks, at all hours of the day. And so in many ways, our eating habits are really a result of our conditioning as a culture. Unless, of course, you live in France, which I guess that wouldn't be part of your culture, but for sure in the U.S., and I know other cultures, there's not cultural times of day that people eat where they would never think of eating in between or at other times. So how does trim life differ from diets? Well, with this course, we are going to be using the power of hypnosis to change our subconscious programming in our minds about cravings and binging. And when you do this through hypnosis, you don't feel deprived. It's just like you're turning the craving switch off in your mind so that you don't want to eat the foods that you crave rather than making a rule about not eating it. And we're going to use hypnosis to increase our motivation to move our bodies. We're not going to actually call it exercising. I call it moving my body because exercise has a negative connotation for most people. And for most people, it connotates just going to the gym, which is not a pleasant experience for everybody. Some people love it. And if you do, that's awesome. Keep exercising. But if you don't love exercising, I would invite you to start using a new word for this. And I just move my body. I just look for ways every day that I could move my body that would be fun, whether that's dancing with the kids at night or swimming in the lake, which is what we love to do, or I take my dog for a walk, and he actually likes to run, so then it's kind of fun because I know I'm getting him some exercise, and then I'm just tricking myself into moving, and I actually enjoy that. So just all kinds of fun ways, just looking for more ways that you can move. I park my car. I don't ever fight over parking spaces way up close. I just park kind of far out in the parking lot because I just know that that's one more way that I can be moving my body, and I know that the kinder I am about moving my body, the more my body will move. You know, but we've all heard that saying, move it or lose it, and I don't want to lose it. I want my body to keep working. I have a goal of rollerblading when I'm 90. So my teacher, Diane, who is 70, who created this course and had released the 80 pounds, she found that she loved dog agility, which is where you train your dog to run these obstacle courses. And she competes with her dogs, and they're like champions. And she literally, I've watched her do it. I've gone over to her house with my kids, and she'll show us her dogs doing the agility course. And she moves like she's 20 years old. I've never seen a 70-year-old move like she moves. She's running all around. And she wasn't exercising. She was 100 pounds heavier. And that was a big way that she actually lost the weight, was she just found a way that she loved to move. So she never went to the gym or anything like that. I also just like to do yoga. I like to hike. I like to ride my bike. My husband and I often on Saturday mornings, we will do a 20-mile bike ride, but halfway in between there's a Starbucks, so we'll ride 10 miles, and then we'll go and we'll sit and have coffee, and, you know, it's like our little Saturday morning date, so instead of going out on Friday and pigging out and drinking, we go to bed early, and then we get up Saturday really early because we both like sunrise, and that's what we do for fun, and then we get our exercise, and it's fun. We look really forward to it. So you guys all heard that my friend Karen is on the line tonight, and she and I realized that we both like swimming, and she was talking about how she was starting to swim, and I used to do triathlons and missed that, and haven't swam for a couple years. So we are actually just going to start swimming together. And I've also found that moving with at least one other person or a group or a team is so incredibly motivating. I used to be part of a triathlon team, and I got in the best shape of my life just because of the camaraderie and the other people like were excited for me to show up, and I was excited to be with them. And so I just was moving my body much more, and I got in such good shape just having fun. So we are also going to be focusing in this class on one day, one step at a time. I love the proverb that says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And the minute we look at the 1,000 miles, we get overwhelmed and paralyzed. But if we just look at the next small step that we can do to take care of our body, it's much less overwhelming. And we feel successful rather than looking at the 10,000 miles that we haven't gone yet and wondering how on earth we would ever get there. If we just focus on one step, we'll be a lot more successful. So we're going to work to move beyond the all or nothing guilt deprivation thinking. I'm just going to make sure nobody sent in a question. Okay. And so you know how we eat something that we weren't going to eat, and then we feel like we failed, so we eat the rest of the food in the freezer. We're going to work to move beyond that as well. So I want to first talk about weighing ourselves. And in some programs, they say you can't weigh yourself. Well, for me, if somebody tells me I can't do something, it's the first thing I'm going to completely obsess about. So I have like a majorly rebellious teenager that lives inside my body. And so anytime someone tells me I can't do something, I will not stop thinking about it, and I'll do it like 100 times. So, how many of you guys weigh yourself daily? Is that a habit that you have? Maybe just if you're on the phone, press *2 just to raise your hand if you're a daily weigher. Okay, see one. Or if you weigh yourself regularly, let's just say regularly, even if you weigh yourself once a week and that's a habit, I won't call your name out or anything. I'm just kind of trying to, I want to see if there's any change in that area for you guys, just bring some awareness to it. But okay, so it looks like actually maybe not so many of you are regular weighers, weigh-inners. I'm not. I used to be. I used to weigh myself, probably in the beginning, middle, and end of every day, so I could just judge myself that much more often. That was what it was for me, and I'm not saying the scale is a bad thing. So you're going to be free to choose whether or not to weigh yourself during this program. And I invite you to ask yourself this really potent question right now. Okay, are you ready? When you get on that scale, what kind of power do you give to it? Do you give it power to tell you if you're okay or if you're not okay, or if you've been good or if you've been bad? And just feel free to answer really, really honestly. What I found for myself was that the amount that I was weighing myself was in direct correlation to how out of control I felt in my life and how much I was looking for some sense of control by controlling that number on a scale, because it was the one thing I felt I had some control over in my life. But it was also an opportunity for me to really beat myself up for not rising up to my own standards, which were always higher than I could ever reach. That was one of the ways that I sabotaged myself regularly. So it gave me my sense of worth or my sense of failure. And I had relinquished that power to my scale. So instead of finding my sense of power and worth and self-love within myself, I gave it away. I was looking outside of myself for validation about who I was, because I didn't know how to find that from within myself. And I don't weigh myself anymore, because I found that when I did weigh myself, it prevented me from really feeling my body, which is imperative for changing our relationship with food. One of the things that we're going to be doing in this program is bringing awareness to feeling our body, because we need to be able to feel what does our body want to eat, what's healthy for our body. We need to feel our hunger. We need to feel our satisfaction when we've had enough. We want to taste and enjoy the food. Eating is one of life's greatest pleasures, so we don't want it to actually be this, we don't want to be in a place where we're feeling deprived. We actually want to be in a place where we're feeling completely satisfied with our food. Another thing that I used to do when the number on the scale was what I wanted it to be, like let's say I was at the weight I wanted it to be, I would end up eating more. Every time I would just start eating more. And it was like this license to binge. So instead of listening to my body's hunger signals, I was just playing this constant game with myself and giving all this power to my scale. So for me, what really made the change was when I took a good look at what being trim, slim and trim meant for me, and what my food obsessions showed me about things that I believed about myself that were driving my behavior. And once I really got connected with those beliefs that I didn't even know I had, and I healed those beliefs, then my behavior around food totally changed, and I no longer cared about the number on the scale. At this point, if I ever weigh myself, it's only like after I'm soaking wet after a shower and I've already put my clothes on and eaten breakfast, because that way I can't really see what I weigh. I can have some sort of idea of what I might weigh around about. And for some reason, I still do that every once in a while. I'm not really sure why, because I really tell how my body's doing just by how my clothes are fitting. So, you know, I eat when I'm hungry. I like to get good and hungry. It feels so much better to eat when I'm good and hungry than if I'm not really hungry and I'm eating. It just almost causes depression for me. So I just feel my weight by how my clothes fit. And if they get a little bit tight, then, you know, maybe I had 3 nights of wine that week, because that will tend to just puff me right up. And then I can choose if I like that outcome or not, but I don't make rules for myself, because like I said, if I do, I have this rebellious teenager that will just go the opposite way really fast. So for some of you, weighing yourself might be really important and really helpful for releasing weight. And so that's just another opportunity for you to kind of get to know yourself and what works best for you, and if the scale is a tool or if it's a judge. For me, it was a judge. It was just another opportunity for me to, validate the belief that I had that I wasn't enough and I didn't have value. So what's important is to just be curious about how it affects you and if you're giving the scale power to tell you that you're enough or not. So we want to bring that into the light, and we want to do that with a lot of compassion. Anything that we're courageous enough to bring into the light, we can welcome it, and then we can release it. But as long as we're hiding from our own beliefs about ourselves, or from anything inside of us, that belief will persist. It will continue affecting us. It will continue driving negative behavior and contribute to our self-sabotage until we're ready to bring it into the light and heal it. So this class is really about becoming vulnerable, really looking at ourselves and what we believe about ourselves and healing those beliefs so that the negative beliefs aren't driving negative behavior. So we're not going to be doing any weighing in. I don't have like a journal for you to write down your weight. If that's really helpful, if you want to kind of take note of what you weigh right now before you start, that's fine. But I really would encourage and invite you to steer clear of focusing on your weight, because oftentimes it's just an opportunity for sabotage. But I'm not telling you not to. Okay, so our goals in this class will be to make healthy choices with food. We're not going to be judging our success, like I said, on our weight loss, or weight release is what I really like to call it, because when we lose something, then we need to find it, and we don't want to find our weight once we release it. So another goal is to find just feel good in our body, like Karen was saying today, how she just felt so good in her own body. We want to feel that way all the time. We want to move in enjoyable ways, finding just fun, exciting ways to move our body and to feel confident living inside this body that we've been given to journey through life in. So our success will be measured by how you're experiencing life in your body in new ways. It's about feeling youthful and vibrant and just moving beyond relying on that number on a scale, or making, you know, having rules for ourselves around what we will eat and what we won't eat. And so in saying all that, I just want to, I'm going to open up the line. So I think that you still have to press star 7 to talk, but if anybody has a question, the other thing that you would do is press star 2, and that will raise your hand. So just before I move on, I just want to clarify anything if anybody's got a question or a comment. And then we're going to start talking about hypnosis and move right into some exercises. We're starting tonight. So, okay. Is that somebody? Sue, do you have a question? No, okay. I don't think that was a question. Okay. So, we're going to learn a bit about hypnosis now, and I'm just going to talk about what it is and what it isn't. So there's a lot of ideas around hypnosis because people have seen or heard about and joke about stage hypnosis, which is where, you know, there's somebody up on stage and they're seemingly have no control over their body and they're doing whatever the hypnotist is telling them to do. If you listen to my intro class to this class last week, you'll know that I don't practice that. I don't know what it is, and I don't know how it works, because the hypnosis that we do is actually going to be bringing you into a place of more awareness. It's bringing you out of the hypnotic state that most of us are in at least 80% of the time, where you're daydreaming, staring, you're not in the moment, you're thinking about other things, your mind's, you're kind of not in your body. You're just numb and to whatever's going on around you. So we're going to be bringing ourselves into a place of awareness. And you'll actually be more in control. So if I make any sort of suggestion that doesn't feel right for you at any time, you don't have to take in that suggestion at all. You can just ignore it, throw it out, whatever. So you're in complete control the entire time of yourself. So our conscious mind is only 10% of our mind. And the conscious part of our mind thinks. It's the part that thinks. It analyzes. It makes decisions. And it's obviously a very important part of our mind. It's responsible for our short-term memory. The other 90% of our mind is our subconscious mind, which is responsible for our long-term memory, and that's the really important part of that's the really important thing to know about our subconscious mind. So I'm wondering if any of you have ever tried hypnosis. If anybody's ever tried hypnosis, just press star 2 to raise your hand. Okay. Oh, okay, there's quite a few of you that have actually tried hypnosis. Okay, cool. Has anybody ever had a negative experience with hypnosis? If you have, then press star 2 because that might be a good thing to just talk about real quick before we move on. Okay, cool, nobody's raising their hand. You might hear me drinking a lot of water. My throat gets really scratchy after about an hour of talking. So if you hear me clearing my throat, this is just normal for me. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, would you like to share, Sue, would you like to share your experience that you had?
Am I unmuted?
You're unmuted.
I thought if I did star 2 again, I would put my hand down.
That's funny.
I've had really positive experiences in the short term, but not over the long haul.
Okay. Oh, that, interesting.
That's what I'm looking at, of how to make this work for me, or it's a part of discovering what causes me to self-sabotage. Maybe that's the root cause, but I really positive.
Okay, great. I'm really glad to hear that. And yeah, I would love you guys after this class, you know, to keep in touch even long term. 2 years down the road, you know, shooting me an email if. I would really love to keep track of that because that helps me learn as well. And you guys are all my teachers. We're all each other's teachers. So that's really interesting. So one of the things, Sue, that I experienced in my life was, first of all, that my transformation process in transforming my relationship with food and my body took about 2 years. So I don't know how long ago that was, but what I found is that I just kept going on a deeper level of healing and finding beliefs, and that's where our sabotage can be such an incredible gift, because when we sabotage ourselves and then the afterwards, you know, we all know the afterwards where we experience the shame and self-loathing, discouragement, frustration, all of that. If we can listen to ourselves in those moments, we can really hear what we believe about ourselves. And it's a great opportunity. It's good to do it with somebody because I think oftentimes in those moments, it's just, for me in my own life, has been more helpful to do it with somebody. But we can really go back to the source of that belief and change it. And so, you know, there's no time frame that works for everybody. Some people do a little bit of this work and make gigantic permanent changes, and some of us it takes longer. I know Diane said it took her about 3 years, because if we have really deep-seated, or if we had abuse growing up, or sexual abuse, or just angry, critical parents, you know, we took on probably a lot more beliefs than somebody who had, you know, really conscientious, caring parents. I think it just sort of depends on where we are. But if we still have self-sabotage, if we can look at it as just an opportunity to continue the healing, that's what the sabotage is all about. So I would just encourage you there, and all of you that are listening. But thank you for sharing that.
Hello?
No, but I can at least tell her what happened on my end.
Oh, right.
But nothing's happening when I push ask a question.
It's 9:30, right?
No, 9 o'clock.
I know, but at 9:30 I'm supposed to call, right?
Yes.
And you're probably...
Yeah, and I'm on the phone, but I'll be off of it by 9:30. I don't know what happened. Just to
Are you guys, can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
You can.
You can, okay. Were you guys hearing me when I was asking the other folks? Because something just happened. A bunch of people dropped off, and I was hearing people say that they couldn't hear me.
But, yeah, it just went blank for a while. Yeah. But
oh, I don't know what happened. It dropped to like 5 people all of a sudden, and nobody could hear me. But okay. Well, I'm glad. Now I'm sweating. I'm like, okay, I'm not technical, so I have no idea what's going on. So, okay, it must have been something with the system because I don't know. But you guys can hear me now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. I will put you back on mute, and we're going to get going here. Okay. One sec. I just heard my phone go, so I'm just going to make sure it's not someone telling me. Yeah, that Karen. Hold on one sec. Karen got disconnected. I'm just going to ask her to call right back in. Thanks for being patient, guys. Okay. Okay. I'm just checking one more time. So you guys can still hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. So what's exciting with hypnosis is that we can actually go back to remembering being two. And we can remember being one, and, okay, and some people can even remember being in the womb or remember their birth, and often these memories are stored in our body, in our subconscious mind, and so when we get in a really relaxed state, sometimes we can bring up memories way back. And I've seen it happen. It's really interesting. I've actually had it happen myself. And it's much more kind of a body memory. It's not like you're seeing it because you weren't consciously seeing everything at that point. But you'll have some sort of memory of what was going on. So imagine that the plumbing in your house, imagine that you had a big leak and you call an electrician. Well, he doesn't have the tools to fix the plumbing. And that's like our conscious mind doesn't have the tools to fix what's in the subconscious mind. So to overcome the patterns that we have that have been in our subconscious mind for a long time, we have to access our subconscious mind. So it's like going on a diet and focusing on the food. That can't access our beliefs or our memories that are driving our eating patterns. So it's basically like computer programming. We all have programs that drive our behavior, and until we change the programs, our behavior will continue. So also in the subconscious mind, all the involuntary bodily functions, so we'll be talking about some of these, like our blood sugar, our cravings, our metabolism, and other involuntary processes that we can regulate through hypnosis. The definition of hypnosis is being in a state where we move back and forth between the conscious and the subconscious mind. And Diane likes to call this a trance, so you're going to see that word in the book and the workbook. If you sign up for, you know, the rest of the 3 weeks, if you're not already signed up, you'll receive those. So I don't love the word trance. I'm getting more used to it, but it seems so woo-woo to me that was a hard word for me to kind of use. But I find that a lot of people feel uncomfortable with it. So I don't always use the word trance, or if I do, just know that I'm just talking about a relaxed, aware state. I'm not talking about any kind of weird drugged out state or whatever. It's that state like right before you fall asleep at night. We all go into it every day, and we actually go into it multiple times a day. They say even 80% of the time we're in it because we're staring at things. And when we stare, it often will just put us into this hypnotic state where you find yourself daydreaming. Oftentimes when you're driving and you all of a sudden arrive where you were going and you don't even remember the drive, that's the state that I'm talking about. So we're going to experience it right now. But before we do, I just want to check in, make sure nobody has any questions. If you have a question, you can raise your hand by pressing *2. And if not, while we're waiting, if you could just get yourself in a comfortable position, sitting up is perfectly fine. This works sitting up. If you want to lie down, that's fine. If you don't think you'll fall asleep. Some people, I have had clients that fall right asleep. They think they have the best session ever because they're so relaxed when they come out. They got a nap. So just finding a comfortable spot, sitting wherever you are is fine. If you can be where it's quiet, that would be nice. Okay. So just getting in that comfortable spot, I'm going to start some music. Just taking a nice deep breath. And focus your eyes on a spot on the ceiling or somewhere in front of you, but up above, so that you're looking up at a spot. Taking a nice deep breath, breathing in all the way. And as you let it out, just feel that wave of relaxation from your head to your toes. Take another deep breath in. And as you let it out, release all the tension from the day. One more time, taking a nice deep breath. One more deep breath, and as you let it out, just feeling your eyelids blinking, becoming really heavy and wanting to close down. And let yourself go into a deeper state of relaxation. Calm and relaxed. Allowing yourself to let go of all your cares and worries. Setting them aside now. Calm and relaxed. Allowing your eyes to close. And now, in a way that's appropriate for you, just notice a beautiful golden ball of light above your head. Notice how warm it is. And just invite this ball of light, this warm, beautiful golden light, to drift down into your head, around the back of your head, and up into the tiny little muscles around your eyes. And notice for yourself your eyes relaxing. The muscles in your face and forehead relaxing. Back of your neck. Just allowing the tension to go for now, knowing that in this moment, you're perfectly safe. Then just invite this warm, relaxing light to drift down your back, spreading out through all the tight muscles, allowing it to go down into your arms, your forearms, your fingers. Back up into your chest, just allowing this warmth, this light, to flow down into your body, relaxing you, into your hips and legs. Any thoughts that you notice that are coming to you, replacing that thought with calm and relaxed. Calm and relaxed. Allowing that light, that warmth, to come down into your feet and your toes. And for a moment now, let yourself go to one of your favorite, most relaxing places. A place out in nature, or in your home, or even in your backyard. It's your favorite, most relaxing place. Maybe it's in the mountains, or a trail, or the ocean, a river or stream, any relaxing place that comes to you. If you're visual, look around at your favorite scenery there, noticing the colors, the textures, the shapes, all the things in your favorite place, birds flying. This is your place. Calm and relaxed. If you're auditory, listen for your favorite sounds using the words calm and relaxed, letting go of every muscle, every ligament. Calm and relaxed. Allowing your body to go deeper and deeper into complete relaxation. And now taking a slow, deep breath in. And as you exhale, invite yourself to go deeper and deeper into relaxation. Anytime you notice any anxiety or fear or worries, just replace it with the words calm and relaxed. Begin now to inhale and smell your favorite smells, fresh breeze, the mountain air, all your favorite aromas in your place. Slowly take a breath in, a deep breath. And exhale and go deeper. Feel that wave of relaxation from your head to your toes. Now begin feeling the feelings that you enjoy in your favorite place. Just being there with all your senses, enjoying this state of wonderful, deep relaxation. And now, notice there is your favorite fruit, maybe a papaya or a mango, some grapes, or even a delicious apple, whatever food that seems delicious to you. Just allow yourself to take a taste of this fruit and really enjoy that flavor. And now take a deep breath in, slowly letting go. And now I invite you to bring your thumb and forefinger together. This is your anchor. Just like the anchor of a ship, it always brings you right back to your mooring, your favorite place, where you're calm and relaxed. Anytime you want to come back to this place, you can simply bring your thumb and forefinger together, and you'll come right back to this place, using the words calm and relaxed. And now just gently bring this anchor to your heart center, just on your chest, the place of unconditional love. It's always there, always within you, your center. Unconditional love. Just feel the warmth and the peace right here within you. You can return to this place of peace anytime by just sitting quietly and repeating the words, calm and relaxed. Okay, now we're just going to come back into the room you're in, feeling as though you're full of energy and vitality and that you've just had a 2-hour nap. I'm just going to count to 5 and you'll be wide awake. 1, feeling relaxed, 2, 3, feeling refreshed, 4, 5, wide awake, feeling vibrant and alive. Waking up, moving your arms, getting fully awake. Okay. I'm just going to ask a couple of quick questions, and then we're just going to take a quick potty break so you don't feel like you have to miss anything. If you've got to run to the bathroom or grab a little snack real quick. So I just want to ask if you felt like you were visual during that exercise, which means that you could see what you were imagining or even that you maybe saw words. Maybe not pictures. Some people see words. Like if you were imagining the beach, you might have seen the word beach rather than actually seeing a beach. Or if you were kinesthetic, you felt the breeze or the sand, the dirt, the warmth of the sun. Or maybe you were olfactory and you could smell what you were experiencing and maybe not see it. Or maybe you were gustatory, which means that you tasted it. Maybe you tasted the fresh air or the fruit. Or maybe you're a combination. Maybe you experienced all of that. Would anybody be interested in sharing what they experienced if they were able to see or feel or what was going on during that? If so, you can press star 2. Hey, Karen. Is that Karen? Did I just... Oh, let's see. Oh, okay. Shelley. Do you want to share, Shelley? Oh, you know what? Sorry. I had unmuted you. So
did I mute myself?
There you are. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get this.
I was a combination of visual and kinesthetic because I went to Stanley Lake and I could see the sunset on the lake. I could picture everything when I'm there. And I could feel the sun, and I could feel the breeze. But no matter how hard I tried, I could not smell the woods, even though I wanted to.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. But you were able to see it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Cool. How was that experience? Did you feel relaxed when you were finished?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's so great to do this relaxation hypnosis because it affects our cortisol level. So when our cortisol is high, when we're stressed out, cortisol is our stress hormone, and it's actually the hormone that tells our body to hold on to fat. So if our cortisol is high, it's very difficult to lose weight. So partly one of the reasons that hypnosis also works for weight loss, besides all the other reasons that I went over, is that it lowers your cortisol so that your body can more easily release weight, which is really cool. So I'm glad you felt relaxed. Thanks. Okay, Karen.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey.
Okay. I could visualize, taste, smell, feel the warmth, everything except words. There was no words. So
okay.
I'm laying at the beach.
Oh.
But there was no words. There was no, traveling
okay.
words. really glad that would have been disturbing.
Well, that is awesome. So you had a little mini vacation just now.
And I tasted Brazilian papaya. It was awesome.
Oh, yum. That sounds so good. Now I'm craving.
I'm all to still be aware of everything that's going on around you. I can still hear the, you know, sounds outside of the room, and, you know, distractions were still there.
Yep. Yeah, just if that happens, just notice and just let them remind you that life still moves on wherever we are. It's just all part of it. So, yeah, that's fine if you're hearing other things. Just notice that you're hearing it, and then just gently bring yourself back to the exercise. So, cool. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm sure you're probably not the only one.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So, some people think that hypnosis is like you're going unconscious, like I said, but it's actually becoming super conscious. It takes us out of our unaware state. So you guys were actually just bringing more awareness to yourself by doing that exercise. So hypnosis is a sensory experience, and all of us are going to experience it differently. So if you just were seeing black and you couldn't see any pictures, that's okay. It doesn't mean it's not working. It doesn't mean you did it wrong. It's just that we all experience it differently. So doing the exercises is going to be effective whichever way you experience it. So we're just going to talk about one more thing before we take like a little two-minute, you know, break. I'm not going to take a super long break, but I want to give you guys a little bit of time to just, if anybody needs to get some water or whatever. Another thing that we're going to be focusing on in this class is that we're not going to be eating by the clock. So we are going to be eating by our hunger, how we gauge our hunger and our satisfaction. So what we're going to do after we take a break is we're going to do a hypnosis exercise installing a hunger satisfaction gauge so that we're really bringing awareness to our body's feeling of needing food or being full and needing to stop. So if you can just imagine a horizontal line on a piece of paper with a zero at one end and a 10 at the other end, and then in your mind just fill in all the other numbers in between, and just imagine yourself putting a circle around the zero and the 5 and the 10. And right now, I just want you to tune into your belly and ask yourself, what's my hunger level? So zero is you're absolutely starving miserable. 10 is you're absolutely full miserable. And you can't take another bite. So we're going to actually install this hunger satisfaction gauge into your subconscious mind tonight. This is a really cool exercise. This one made a huge difference for me after I did it. It was after I did this exercise, I no longer ever, and I had kind of been working on it for a while, but I no longer ever wanted to eat when I wasn't hungry. It was really, really powerful for me. So after we do this exercise, when somebody asks you if you want lunch or dinner or a snack, what this will help you do is to really check in to see what your hunger level is and make your decision to eat based on what your body is telling you. So a zero as well as a 10 are both very uncomfortable states of being. And in the middle is the 5, which is where we're just satisfied. We're not hungry. We're not full. We're just good. And then 4 is where we're a little bit hungry, like the being satisfied is wearing off a little bit. And then the 3 is we're more hungry. And the 2 is where we're good and hungry, but we're not starving and our blood sugar hasn't just plummeted. So we want to eat right around a 2 or a 3. So if we get to a 1 or a 0, what happens? We end up, just going for something that's fast. We go for something usually that's not very healthy. So we want to eat before we get to that point, before we're like starving. So, and then when we eat and so we're just at a five, we're satisfied, we're not stuffed, we're not hungry, we're just good, then we still can have great energy, we don't get exhausted from our meal. So what we're going to focus on is eating is smaller meals and just check in with our body. Usually our body doesn't need a huge meal at once. Some people, I will say, some people like to eat twice a day, like breakfast. Breakfast is really important. So if you're really hungry in the morning, you might eat a bigger breakfast and then like a big meal at 3 o'clock, you know, instead of eating four times a day or something. But what we're going to try to focus on is just eating on a small plate. Like I use always a salad plate. My kids, I've always kind of had my kids eat on the, you know, the salad size plates. And so at some point I just started using that because the big plate seemed like so huge and unnecessary. And that works really well for me to kind of gauge how much I'm eating but not putting too much on my plate. And then we're also going to focus on eating slowly because it takes 20 minutes from the time you start eating for your body to get all the satisfaction messages to reach your hypothalamus and signal you to stop eating and telling you that your body's full. So when you're eating, if you're not sure that you're all the way satisfied, you can always wait a little while until it's been 20 minutes since you started eating, and then you can see if you're still hungry. So you don't have to say, well, I can't eat anymore. Just kind of use your body as a gauge to see if, you know, if you need any more food or not. Okay. So we are just going to take a quick break right here. I'll say just about like 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. And so I'll see you guys back in a couple minutes. So you can go get a snack or a drink, or if you got to text someone or check Facebook or whatever it is, go to the bathroom. I will see you back in a few minutes. Okay, so we're back, and So now that you all know actually how to hypnotize yourself, do you guys remember how? So what we did was we put our thumb and forefinger together. And that's our anchor, to just bring us right back to that favorite place so that we don't have to go through the whole beginning part of the relaxation. So hypnotizing yourself, you could call it that. You can call it putting yourself in a really relaxed state. It's the same thing. So you can put on some really relaxing music. You can just say calm and relaxed. It's good to just kind of stare at that spot on the ceiling because that gets your eyes really tired, and it just puts you in that staring, puts you in that relaxed state really easily. So that's a good idea. And just making your anchor, the thumb and forefinger, and closing your eyes, and then you're there. So we're going to try that right now. I'm going to ask you to just pick a spot and stare at it. And just allow your eyelids to close as they're ready. Taking a nice deep breath in. And exhaling, calm and relaxed. Letting go of every muscle and ligament. Going deeper into relaxation. Calm and relaxed. Going right back to your favorite place. Using all your senses, looking at your favorite scenery, hearing the sounds, calm and relaxed, deeper and deeper into relaxation. Maybe a word or phrase comes to you, something about your place that you can use to come right back to this place. Feeling everything you enjoy there, calm and relaxed. Now, if your thumb and forefinger are together, just letting go of them. Picture and imagine this hunger gauge right there in your stomach. A gauge with the numbers 0 to 10. It can be a dial or a straight line, and really try to see or feel or somehow experience those numbers, with the 0 on one end, the 5 in the middle, and the 10 on the other side. When your hunger level is on 0, you're very, very hungry. Let that be the color red. And now move over to the 10. 10 means you are miserably stuffed. let that be whatever color signifies that uncomfortable stuffed feeling. Both extremes are very uncomfortable, starving or stuffed. Let's move our attention now to number 5. Right in the center, perfectly satisfied. We've eaten just the right amount. Let this be a color too. When we're at a 5, we may notice the hunger level moves down to 4, to 3, and we hear a message that it's almost time to eat. Give this a color, this feeling that it's almost time to eat. And moving down to number 2, it's time to eat now. Give that feeling a color. And now imagine yourself beginning to eat. You feel the hunger level moving up to 4. And then to 5, just feeling satisfied. If you continue to eat more than your body or stomach really wants, it's very uncomfortable. Feel the discomfort of being overly stuffed. Tired, unmotivated. And now take a deep breath and allow the hunger level to come back down. When you go above a 5, you'll listen to the discomfort of your body. You'll also listen when your body tells you it's hungry, and you'll eat. And now coming back to a level 5, you're satisfied, feeling good. And now put one hand on your stomach, and one hand on your heart center, right on your chest. The color of the heart center is green. Just feel the love in your heart center. Knowing that this love in your heart center helps you stay focused and treat your body with love and to listen to your body. And in a moment now, we'll just come back into the room feeling good in every way. I'll just count from 1 up to 5 as you come back. 1, energy is coming back into your body. 2, 3, feeling grounded and connected. 4, 5, wide awake, refreshed, and relaxed. Okay, so now just, I'm interested to see if anybody was able to feel the hunger levels, the different hunger levels. I know for me, even, I'm kind of hungry, like I'm going to be ready for dinner when this call is over, and I was even noticing as I was doing it that my hunger level was shifting. It was really interesting. And I even though I'm hungry, I was feeling myself full when I went up to 5 and above 5. Is really pretty interesting. So anyway, if anybody would like to share or you guys have any questions, You can press star 2. And just while anybody's deciding if they want to share, when you get your book, so anybody who doesn't have their materials already, you will be getting it in the next couple of days. I'm going to ship any of them out that I haven't shipped tomorrow, priority meals. So at the most, I would say it would take 2 days. And on page 37 of your book, there's a hunger level page. So you might just want to take note of that. And if you would like, you can take notes there about the experience that you had here tonight with that. One of the things that, especially when I was first really learning to trust my body about my hunger level, a great trick that I used, and I still use this because, like I said, my mind will still go to food sometimes if I'm feeling bored or, you know, I work at home and sometimes it's a little bit monotonous doing all my research or whatever, preparing for classes and stuff, and I'll find myself wanting, you know, like a chocolate chip cookie all of a sudden pops into my mind and I check in and I'm like, I'm not hungry. But if it persists and I just really feel like I need some comfort through my mouth, a pacifier, I will make myself some tea. And so if I feel like eating but I'm not hungry, tea is my go-to. I don't drink too much of it because you can actually have too much liquid going through your body and wash out your electrolytes. So I drink maybe a couple cups during the day. I have a cup of coffee in the morning. The rest of the time I would have water or something else. But my favorite tea, and I will send this out in a link, is called Spring Dragon Longevity Tea. And it doesn't have any caffeine, but it's adaptogenic. So if you're tired, it will lift you up. And if you're hyper or too awake, it will calm you down. So you can actually drink it in the morning or the evening, and it will have the effect that it needs to have. And it's also just this amazing longevity tea, so it's just great for anti-aging, that sort of thing. It has gynostemma in it, which is the number one anti-aging herb in Chinese medicine. So I love that. All right, we're going to move on. The next thing I'm going to talk about a little bit is hypoglycemia. And often we start out our day with cereal or toast, you know, maybe a yogurt with fruit in it, like a non-fat yogurt with fruit, or a pastry or a muffin or a bagel or something. Well, all of those foods, believe it or not, even the toast or the bagel, are very high in sugar. They convert to sugar right away in your body. So what happens is these foods raise our blood, the sugar that's in our blood. They raise the level of sugar that's in our blood. And oftentimes we combine those foods with coffee, which also raises our blood sugar level. A lot of people don't know that, but it does. It raises our cortisol level too. And I do drink a cup of coffee, but if you go beyond that, you're probably going to be not doing yourself any favor as far as helping your body to release fat. So we don't want to be drinking too much caffeine. But so what happens is when our blood sugar goes up, our body sends in the insulin to take all the excess sugar out of our blood sugar, out of our bloodstream, and then our blood sugar gets low. So then our body craves sugar. And when it's low, we get tired and kind of depressed, so we want sugar and caffeine. So we do that again, the blood sugar goes up, you know, and then not only are we creating a situation where our body's going to hold on to more fat, because our body has to have fat in order to store the extra sugar that's in our blood, then we just have this, you know, unhealthy cycle going on all day long where we're drinking energy drinks and eating more sugar, and that doesn't help at all. So this is just, it's a self-medication cycle. We're trying to make ourselves feel better by what we put in our mouth. We all do this. And then we end up craving the sugar all day long, even up to when, right before we go to bed. And so, you know, this cycle causes depression. No one wants to feel down. So we feel down and then we eat so we can feel up again. And you see, we all know this crazy cycle. We're going to be talking more in detail about that and things that you can eat, but first what we're going to do is an exercise called Collapsing Anchors. And I believe this is the last one that we're going to do tonight. But because when I say, you know, you don't really want to be eating those sugary foods, it's better to eat some protein and vegetables and some fat. That's what I usually eat for breakfast, unless I make myself some flourless muffins or something so I can eat butter, because I really, if you know me and have followed me, you'll know that I love butter. So sometimes I make myself a flourless muffin, which I will share those recipes. But usually I just look in the refrigerator, see what veggies I have, put some butter in the skillet, chop up a bunch of onions and garlic and zucchini and peppers and whatever, mushrooms, throw it in, or if I have leftover veggies from the night before, throw it in the skillet, saute those up and add some eggs. I usually like to eat some sauerkraut, which we'll talk about another time, for the good bacteria. But we want to eat a breakfast that's going to start our day off right, that's going to keep our blood sugar normalized. But the challenge is that we crave the sugar, because that's what our body's used to. Our craving sensors will crave whatever they're used to. So as we change our habits, as you change what you're eating for your meals and for your snacks, your cravings will actually change, because your body will just start craving what you're normally giving it. So in order to do this exercise, what I want you to do is just put both of your hands out in front of you. And in your least dominant hand, so if you write with your right hand, you're going to, in your least dominant hand, which would be your left hand, place a food that you crave. And then in your dominant hand, we're going to put something that's totally disgusting to you. Our more dominant hand is more suggestible, so that's where we're going to put this thing that's disgusting. Now, put the most gross, absolutely gross, disgusting thing you can think of in your dominant hand, and you have the food that you crave in your least dominant hand. And what we're going to do in this exercise is clap those hands together, and we're going to create confusion in your mind about the food that you normally crave, and it's going to become more gross. So this is a really cool exercise, and it didn't work for me until I figured out what gross thing I needed to use. So those of you that also know me would know possibly that I really like wine, red wine, and I have struggled with that in my journey. And I got a really good handle on that, but I didn't still feel like I had total control over it. So I was doing this exercise, and I was doing like this gross, slimy, throw up, you know, mixture. And it didn't totally work. And one day I caught myself thinking that what I don't like about wine is that I feel like it really closes off my heart. And for me, my heart is everything, because it's what connects me to other people and connects me to myself and God. And so what I did was I did this exercise, and the gross thing was this closed, dried up, shriveled up heart. And boy, did that work. I still drink wine now. I still will enjoy it, but I never, ever, ever, I can say I never want to overdrink it. And there's just this point where my body goes, I don't want any more. And that's usually after about a glass, which is huge for me, because it was a big one. It took me a lot to work through my wine. There's probably some of you laughing, because some of you have probably worked through it with me. But anyway, so I don't never drink it, but I also feel so controlled about it after I did this exercise. So if it doesn't work the first time, you got to keep doing it and using different substances that would really make a difference for you. But a lot of people, it actually works the first time. And this is used for people with addictions, cigarettes, you know, drugs, everything. This is used successfully. So this exercise is also on the CD, and it's in week one or week two. It'll say when you get it. I think it's actually on week one, if I remember correctly. All of these exercises are actually on the CDs, so you can practice them. I would say probably doing one a day. I wouldn't maybe do, they take about 15 minutes, so you don't want to overwhelm yourself, but just pick one, and then when you're ready to move on, go to another one. You might want to listen to them all first. But Okay, so right now if you have access to a pillow or a stuffed animal, you can just go ahead and put that beside you. We're going to be using that in a little bit during this exercise for a really neat part that I love. And if you don't, it's okay. This will still work. Even if you have like a sweatshirt or just something that you could roll up, that would work. Okay, so I just invite you to hypnotize yourself again like we did earlier. So just stare at your spot and really focus. Take a nice deep breath in. Slowly let it out. Letting those words, calm and relaxed, come to you. Slowly inhaling. And as you exhale, calm and relaxed. Relaxing and letting go. And whenever you're ready, allowing your eyelids to close down. Make your anchor, bringing your thumb and forefinger together, and if you choose, repeating the words, calm and relaxed, maybe saying that word that you associated with your favorite place, just letting yourself be there in your favorite, most relaxing place, calm and relaxed. Now you can let go of your thumb and forefinger as soon as you're there and feeling relaxed. Take a nice deep breath in now. Slowly exhaling. And now we'll move into the extinguishing part. Giving you the tools that you need to make healthy choices in your life, extinguishing unwanted substances. So for a moment, I invite you to get in touch with whatever it is that you feel you don't have control over not eating. Whatever that food is, just pick one for now. Maybe coffee or cookies, chips, wine. French fries, just pick one. And now take a deep breath in. And exhaling, releasing, relaxing, letting go, just feeling your body, feeling safe inside your body. And now bringing your attention to your least dominant hand. And in that hand, begin to feel that craving for this substance, whatever it is. Just feel it in your hand, or see it there, smell it, taste it. Beginning to really feel this craving. Tuning into it, noticing how your body feels, noticing where that craving shows up in your body, allowing it to get strong, seeing it or smelling it, tasting it, getting stronger. You really want to eat this food. It's so strong. And now notice how strong it is from 0 to 10. 0 meaning you can't feel it at all, and 10 it's really strong. You've got to eat it right now.